Amen, amen. Well, as we get back into our seats and we get ready for the Word of God today, we're going to pray right now. But as we get into this Word this morning, I was reading this passage of Scripture. It really spoke to me so much that I said, I have to preach this Sunday. So you guys ready for God's Word? Amen. Come on, get a little excited here. All right, let's read this together. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 16. And it says, it happens. Can we all just say that real loud? It happens. Say it loud. It happens. Because that is exactly the title of today's message. I titled it, It Happened. So every time I say, it happened, or it happens, or it's happening, I want you guys to respond really loud. It happens, all right? So for example, if I say, well, it happened. Come on. Well, it happens.
It happens.
Good. So throughout the whole sermon, you're going to help me preach this morning. Every time I say it happens.
It happens.
See, someone's listening. The rest of you need to shape up. Come on. Verse 16. It happens.
It happens.
There you go. That as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. Now let's go to verse 22. The Bible says, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off. And they proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet with stocks. Notice that. Thrown into prison, beaten, stripped naked, and in chains. Isn't God good? You're like, I don't know about that one. Let's pray. Father, as we pray and as we ask you to just speak to us today, I just pray as we talk about this whole deal of it happens, Lord, I just pray that you speak to us and teach us this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it does happen. Guys are bad. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever told yourself or made a promise to yourself or this vow that you're going to be a better Christian? Show me your hands if you've ever made that. Maybe during New Year's or whatever, or lately you messed up, but you said, okay, I'm going to work at this and I'm going to be a better Christian. I mean, show me your hands one more time. I want to see who I'm going to judge right now. Okay, so it says, I'm going to be a better Christian. I don't even know what that even means. You don't know what that looks like, but you tell yourself, I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be nicer. So you have this excitement that you're going to start this new thing. Like when you start a new diet or something, you're kind of excited until a few days later you're sick of it and you're tired of it. Well, a lot of people do this dieting with Christianity. We say, oh, I'm going to get in this shape. I'm going to get in shape with God. I'm going to be a better person, a better wife, a better spouse, a better person in general. And you get all excited and it wears off and then you're back to the same person you hate. You're like, why did I even promise myself this? So a lot of people say, I'm going to be a better Christian, and they get ready for this, but then something amazing happens. Come on. You're going to get spiritual, you're going to get holier, you're going to get better. Until someone messes you up. Or until something happens that gets you all upset and frustrated and crazy, and you're just back to the old you that you swore you'd never be. So some of us understand that. I believe this to be true 100%. If it wasn't for people, you would be an amazing Christian. Amen. Come on, let's get real. Come on. I mean, imagine if it wasn't for people, you wouldn't curse as much. You wouldn't lie as much. You wouldn't be frustrated as much. You wouldn't be angry all the time. If it wasn't for people, let me prove it to you. Life was perfect when it was just Adam. But as soon as another person came in, everything went down. I'm not saying a woman. Calm down. All the ladies are like, watch it. I'm just saying that as soon as another person got into the picture, everything went crazy. Adam was fine until another person showed up. So I'm wondering, how different would it be for us? Who would you be if it wasn't for crazy people? You see, when I read this in Acts, it says that Paul, did you notice in verse 16 it says he was on his way to the house of prayer? So Paul got up this morning, he got all excited. Remember, Paul just became a Christian, so he has that fire, that excitement to serve Jesus. He gets up in the morning, he says, I'm going to go to the house of prayer. The house of prayer was where everyone gathered to pray and worship. It was a church service. So he gets up, he gets ready to go to church, and all of a sudden, it happened. Thank you. The Bible says, and it happens. When Paul was walking, getting ready to go to church, like you did this morning, all of a sudden some girl pops up and says, hey everyone, it's Paul. Paul is awesome. Paul comes in the name of God. He comes in the name of Jesus. Praise Jesus. Paul, yeah, Paul. Paul, Paul, Paul. And I mean, I'm telling you, this girl was really excited. You might say, well, Pastor, it's not good. That's maybe the first time she pops up and says, hey, Paul. And Paul was like, hey. But the Bible says that every day when Paul got up to go to the house of prayer, there she was. It's Paul. He got up on Monday. Hey, Paul! Tuesday, it's Paul, everyone! Wednesday, hey, Jesus, look! It's Paul! Paul is awesome! And Paul could not preach. Paul could not pray. Paul could not focus. Paul was annoyed. This is Paul! The one that wrote a third of the New Testament. The one that everyone looks up to. But everyone sees it. That Paul says, she's so annoying. Because Christians get annoyed too. Amen. Paul got annoyed. So on his way to the house of prayer, he's on his way to do good. He's on his way to preach. He's on his way to pray. He's on his way to serve God. And then it happens. Annoying people. Annoying people. And it just became so difficult for him to pray, to preach, to do any good, because he was so annoyed. That word annoyed is a Greek word that literally translates to be exhausted. How many know people can just exhaust you? Some of you are exhausted this morning. People are so exhausting, especially when they're negative. When they complain all the time, when all they tell you is about themselves and their problems and their life, and especially when they're selfish and they hurt you, people can really be annoying. It's a serious problem that Paul is suffering here, because every day he gets up, and the Bible says this girl was not just a one-day problem. This girl showed up every day and annoyed Paul. See, there were two people that day, Paul and Silas. Maybe Silas was a people person. Any people here? Very little, because you live in Miami, I get it. But there are people outside this county, this city, that like to hang out with other people. They actually like people. It's weird. It's crazy. So I think Silas was a people person. Because the Bible doesn't say Silas was annoyed. I'm sure Silas is like person, like what Frankie is to me. Frankie loves people. She loves everyone. No matter how bad they are, she always sees the good in them, and it annoys me. It does. So it's like David and Frankie, like Paul and Silas, and this girl comes down and says, "Hey, it's Paul!" And Silas is like, "Oh, God bless her. She's so awesome. She's so nice, isn't she?" And Paul's like, "I can't stand her. She's driving me crazy." Are you thinking of someone right now that's just driving you crazy? That because of them, you're just exhausted? Here's what's troubling, though. It's normal for people to annoy you. It's normal for you not to like everyone. But it becomes a problem when it becomes difficult for you to focus on God because of them. If because of what happened, because of what happened keeps you distracted from God, because of what someone said, what someone did, or the situation you're going through, because of life, you found it distracting to serve God. It's hard for you to come to church. It's hard for you to pray. You don't worship like you used to. You don't praise God like you used to. Because life is just so exhausting. There is a serious problem when you're so exhausted because of life that you're too exhausted to serve God. That's when Paul noticed, hey, I got to do something about this because this annoying girl is hindering my walk with God. And I'm wondering how many people in church today, their walk with God has been hindered because of a person, and that's not fair to God. And you're just hindered. You don't pray. You don't worship. You're not the same anymore because life has been so exhausting and people have exhausted you to the point that is affecting your relationship with God. That's a serious problem when it distracts you. And you say, "Pastor, because of them, because of everything I'm going through with this person that I'm married to, the person that I work with, this family member, this friend, this person I go to church with, they're so annoying that it's not the same anymore. I can't worship. I can't pray. I don't spend time in God's word because I am so exhausted." Paul got so exhausted because of this little girl that he had to do something about it. When I read that, I said to myself, that is so true. Life and people can get so annoying that it literally affects your relationship with Jesus. You say, "Yeah, man, I feel you, Pastor. There's people that just rob me of joy and peace and my praise. And it seems like I can't get away from them." Paul was going through this situation where every day he got up to do right, to pray, to go to the house of God, to follow God's will. But every day, by the time he got to church, he was angry, he was frustrated, he was distracted, and he couldn't carry out the work of God because of one little annoying person. And that might be you here this morning. So you might be saying, "Well, Pastor, what do we do when I have that annoying person in my life? What do I do when life is so exhausting right now that it's hindering my relationship with God because I'm so focused about what they're doing, what they're saying, what I'm going through, that it's hard to go to the house of God. It's hard to worship. It's hard to fellowship. It's hard to pray because I'm so annoyed." Verse 18. The Bible said that she continued doing this for many days. And Paul was so annoyed that he turned. That's important that you see this. Paul turned, meaning that there came a point, number one, what do? When you have an annoying person in your life, when you're going through an annoying situation that has you exhausted, that's affecting your relationship with God, number one, avoid them. You say, well, Pastor, that's not very Christian-like. It's very Christian-like. And I'll explain to you why. Notice one thing Paul did. The Bible said Paul turned towards her. Meaning Paul's first strategy was to turn away from her. You guys get that? So for days, she kept going, Paul, hey, Paul, Paul, Paul's awesome, Paul's great. And he was so annoyed. Can you shut up already? Oh, there she is again. And what did Paul do? I'm just going to turn from her. I'm just going to avoid her. You see, some people are that annoying. They're going to keep doing it. They're not going to change. Avoid them. You see, Paul says something interesting in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Paul said, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men, that's people, will be lovers of self. Can we say amen to that? Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, rivalers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God. I mean, these people are bad. Haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And what does he say next? Avoid what? Say it loud. Avoid such men. What does the Bible say? Avoid. Being a Christian does not mean you're friends with everyone. Praise God. Hallelujah. You mean, Pastor, to tell me that it's okay that I just avoid them and God's not going to be mad at me? Well, if that person is affecting you so much that it's hindering your walk with God, why would God want you around them? If it's affecting your prayer life, it's affecting your worship, it's affecting the way you walk. Now, you got to understand why they're annoying you. That's the key. Because they might be annoying you because you're selfish. But some people are just naturally annoying to you. They affect your relationship with God. And the Bible says that Paul wrote, avoid such people. That's what Paul did. Now, it doesn't mean that you see them at work or you see them wherever you're at and you just look at them and go, Pastor said I don't have to be with you. Pastor said I can turn away from you. You know, that's not what I'm saying. You be polite, you be nice, don't be rude. But it doesn't mean that if there's an annoying person in your workplace, why are you saying, hey girl, want to have lunch later? If you know you don't like them. Why are you still hanging? Why are you calling? Why are you texting? Why are you talking? If you know they're hindering you, avoid them. You say, hi, good morning, how are you? You're not rude. But you don't have to be so involved with them that it affects your relationship with God. How many of you know that there's certain people in your life that, certain type of people that affect you? We all have them. We all have them. So the Bible says, avoid them. Paul tried it. Paul said, going to turn my back away from her. But here's the problem. Sometimes you can't avoid them. I mean, you can't sometimes because you can't avoid them because you're married to them. Don't say amen, husbands. Just shh. You can't avoid them sometimes because they come to church with you. Yeah, there's annoying people in church. Are you kidding me? I've been a pastor for almost 10 years. I can tell you there's been more annoying people than nice ones in the church. Not you guys. You guys are awesome. I had a woman bite me in church once. Hello? Yeah, you don't know? I had a woman come up to the altar. She looked spiritual. She was smiling. She was like, I'm like, praise Jesus. And then she's like, whispers to me. She says something so demonic, I can't repeat it. And she won't let go. What an annoying girl. And I literally fall on the floor on my knees with her. And everyone's like, how spiritual is our pastor? Look at him. And I'm here like, get away from me. And man, it was horrible. I've had a chair thrown at me. I worked in downtown, y'all. I worked in a church in the inner city. Crazy. People, you can't always avoid them. Paul tried for days avoiding them. He turned his back. He said, I'm not going to look at her. I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to pay attention. But every day he turned his back. Every day, there she was. Hey, Paul! Polly! I'm here! I know you can hear me! And Silas is like, oh, she's so sweet. Paul, you have a little fan. And then Paul finally faces her. This is where the sermon gets good. He faces her, prays over her, and he casts a demon out of her. Now listen, don't you be doing this thinking that every annoying person has a demon. Don't be going to work tomorrow to your boss. Whoa! Be gone! In the name of Jesus! He's going to be like, you're fired. Don't be crazy. I mean, Paul, I'm sure that, listen, here's the truth is, not every annoying person is a demon. But I know that the devil uses people. The devil uses people. I believe that sometime between the annoying days, Paul prayed to God and said, Lord, you know I love you. You know I want to pray. You know I want to serve you. You know I want to be a good Christian, but I can't stand that little girl. God, she's driving me crazy. Every day when I go to the house of prayer, there she is. And as he's praying for her, as he's praying, I believe that God opened up Paul's heart and revealed to him that she had a spirit. See, here's my point. Some people that hurt you, some people that drive you crazy, some people that annoy you, oftentimes do so because there's a deep-rooted issue you're not even aware of. See, to Paul, this was just a common, everyday, annoying little girl. Until Paul realized, not only is this annoying girl just driving me crazy, but I didn't even notice, I didn't pay attention that this little girl is a slave. The Bible says she was a slave girl. And in that culture, those slave girls were taken from their families. They were often abused, mistreated, alone. This girl had her own issues. And the Bible says that there was a demon inside her. In other words, the devil was really on her. And Paul didn't even realize it. But the majority of the people that drive us insane and are annoyed have a deep-rooted issue that you're not even aware of. Some of the people you can't even stand are so hurt, are so broken, are so alone that you can't even see it, but they're so in pain. like this girl. So when you can't avoid them, Paul does the second thing. Prays for her. He prays for her. You see, God showed Paul that that very person that you can't stand right now, this very person that's distracting you from me, Paul, this very girl that you can't just tolerate anymore, you don't understand, Paul, but she's in bondage and she needs you. So I wonder if that same person you're annoyed with is a person that God wants you to bless, that God wants you to pray over and pray for. Can you pray for the people in your life that have hurt you? Can you pray for the people in your life that are annoying you and exhausting you right now? See, Paul prayed because she had struggles of her own, deep-rooted issues. So Paul says, Lord, I get it. I can't avoid her anymore. So he prays for her. The Bible says that the Spirit left her and this girl was set free. And then it happened. And then it happens. You ever think that life's going to get better and then it just gets worse than before? Verse 22. Paul prays for her. The crowd rose up together against him. They tore his robes off, proceeded in order to beat him with rods. They struck him. They threw him in prison. How many of you understand that people will often hurt you and ignore the good in you? Paul did something great. Paul delivered her, he prayed over her, he set her free, and as soon as he did that, he's probably thinking, everyone's going to have a revival, this is going to be a great service, God's going to show up, and he's going to do amazing things here, and all of a sudden, as soon as he delivers her, someone in the crowd says, get him. And they got Paul, and they got Silas, and they stripped them naked, and they beat them with rods, and they threw them into prison. See, if I'm Paul, I'm saying to God, what are you doing? I'm thinking right now, God, I was annoyed, I prayed for her, you set her free. And now all these people have stripped me naked. They have beaten me with rods. They threw me in prison. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you don't understand why God has allowed certain individuals to hurt you the way they did? And you're thinking to yourself, I don't understand this, God. I'm on my way to church. I pray for this girl. And now I'm in prison. Makes no sense. But it happens. People will hurt you. People will take advantage of you. Even when you do good, they ignore it. And you're going to feel like they've just beaten you senseless. You're going to feel like they have stripped something away from you. And some of you have been put in prison through people. You're in a prison of bitterness, a prison of selfishness. You're in a prison of anger because of someone else. Can I tell you, Paul never made it to church? He got up and he's, I'm going to go to church today, not expecting that he was going to get beaten and thrown into prison. So what do you do when people hurt you? Because it happens all the time. What do you do when you're trying to do good? You're trying to be a good Christian. You're trying to do the right thing. But it just seems the more good I do, the worse people treat me. Paul was not only annoyed with a little girl, but once he prayed over her and did the right thing, now he's dealing with a crowd. He went from one little girl to a crowd of people. And that's what your life looks like now. It seems like you had a problem with one person, you fixed it, but now you have a problem with everyone else. And he's dealing with this crowd. I love this though in verse 25. Paul and Silas are in prison. And the Bible says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Can I be honest with you? That's not me. That's probably not you. Can you imagine if I'm thrown into prison? I was just thinking about it. I was thrown into prison with Frankie. I'm naked. She's naked too. That's awkward. We've been beaten. We've been mishandled. And all because we prayed for an annoying person. I can't imagine if I'm in prison and Frankie says, hey, we should sing a song. I'll be looking at her like, shut up. Because now you're being annoying. And Frankie's like, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our... And I'm like, ah! We've been beaten. I know. We've been stripped. Praise God. But that's what happened. They're in prison. Paul's having like the worst day ever. So let me teach you three things when it happens. Number one, praise God. And you're like, no. Yeah. See, the word praise has the word raise in it because that's what it does. It literally raises you emotionally. Because when you praise God, it takes the focus off your problem and it puts the focus on God. And the reason that you're so discouraged and angry and upset and cold is because you've allowed whatever happens, you've allowed it to rob you of your praise. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the Bible says, in all things, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything, give thanks. Let me explain something to you about this verse. It says, in everything, give thanks, not for everything. Huge difference. Because it's hard. You're not going to thank God for cancer. You're not going to thank God for a sick child. You're not going to thank God for a job loss. You're not going to thank God for the loss of a loved one. You're not going to thank, get real. You're not going to say, God, thank you for this. And God doesn't expect you to. That's why the Bible doesn't say, notice, for everything. But it says in everything. It means that when I'm in it, I should be grateful because the Lord is up to something. I should be grateful because I know that God is still in control. The reason that Paul was praising was not because he was beaten down, not because he was stripped, not because he was in chains. He was praising God because he knew that God was working all things for his good. So not all things are good, but God was working something. I wonder today if you've allowed whatever has happened to rob you of your praise. Number two, not only are you to praise when it happens, it happens. I'm down to like one person now. But two, can I tell you what the most frightening thing about this story was? The Bible says that while they were praising God, while they were in prison, the prisoners were watching and listening. Can I tell you, my second point is, you are not alone. And I'm not saying that in a positive way. I'm not saying like, oh, you're not alone, God is with you. I'm not saying that. When I say, let me rephrase it, not you're not alone. Let me say it the best way we can understand it. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. Hello? I love you. But you're not the only one. Paul and Silas were not the only ones in that prison. There were other people in the same cell, in the same prison, with the same people who were hurt the same way, stripped the same way, beaten the same way, in the same chains, under the same bars. So when I read that, the Lord really spoke to me about this. Because sometimes we have a bad attitude, we're cold, we lose our praise, we get annoyed because we really think the world owes you something. And you really think you're the only one going through what you're going through. But let me tell you, you're not the only one who is sick right now. You're not the only one with financial problems. You're not the only one with an addiction. You're not the only one with marital problems. You're not the only one with crazy children. You're not the only one. You are not alone in your prison. But what's the difference? The world shares the same problems we do. People that don't know Jesus have the same problems with those that do know Jesus. The difference is how we react to those problems. They were in the same prison, but they were reacting differently than those prisoners. So while they were in this prison, everyone is in that prison. They're discouraged, they're sad, they're lonely. I don't know what they're going through. But all of a sudden, when they looked at Paul and when they looked at Silas, they just saw and heard worship. And those prisoners were like, that's different. That's who we should be as Christ followers. Whatever happens in your life, because it will happen. Thank you. Whatever people do to you, no matter how annoying they get, no matter who strips you, who beats you, no matter how life has just put you under this immense pressure, we have to always react in a manner of praise and worship because we are trusting in our Heavenly Father. That's what separates us from the world. And Paul and Silas were in this prison. And everyone saw their reaction. It's frightening to me that people are watching and listening to you. They're watching because they know what you're going through. But they're watching to see how you handle it. Now close with the last one, number three. So whatever happens, always praise God. Thank you. Whatever happens, you're not alone. Get over it. And be an example. And react in faith. Number three. Can I tell you the reason that it happens? It's because God is working. I don't know how he's working in your life, but he's working. The Bible says that God works all things for good for those who love him. So he's in prison, he's naked, he's beaten, it was bad. Let me explain to you in verse 26 what happened. It says, suddenly, there came a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison's house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone in chains were unfastened. Then the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open. He drew the sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice and he said, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for the lights and rushed. In trembling fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And I want you to see what they said. After they brought them out, he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Can I tell you what God was doing? Satan tried to distract Paul with this annoying little girl. See, because what Satan wants to do is distract you from the work of God. He wants to distract you from what God wants to do in your life. So it's so surprising how he used this little annoying girl to try to stop Paul. And when he prayed over her, he was beaten and stripped and thrown into prison. And I'm sure the devil was there laughing, saying, "Oh, okay, so the annoying little girl didn't work. But now he's beaten and he's stripped and he's thrown into prison. Now let's see what happens." And he starts worshiping and he starts praising. I'm sure the devil was like, "I don't get this guy. No matter what happens, no matter what I throw at him, he just reacts in faith." I wish the devil can say that about us. And all of a sudden, there was this massive earthquake. The chains fell, the doors opened. And there was this jailer that didn't know Jesus. This jailer was not in the crowds that listened to Jesus' sermons. He was not in the crowds that would listen to the disciples preach. He was not in the house of prayer. This man was the type of man that would never step foot in the church, but then God sends him over to you. And when the earthquake happened, this guy saw something in Paul and Silas that he said, "I want to serve their God." Because I believe that if we would not lose our worship, if we would not lose our praise, if we would stay faithful to God when it happens, whatever happens in your life, because it will happen, but we never lose our faith, we never lose our testimony, I think that's the type of example that the world wants to see. That would cause someone to say, "I want to serve that God because they're going through it. They're in the same prison, but look at how happy they are. Look at the joy that they have." But today, we have a church that's full of whiners and complainers, and they're cold-hearted and angry all the time, and they're acting and reacting just like the same world under the same prison. But it's time for the church to rise and say, "Listen, I'm not going to let whatever happens to me," thank you, Maria, "affect my praise and worship." Let me tell you, it wasn't the earthquake that got this man to say, "I want Jesus." A lot of people think that's what it was. That's not true. Let me prove this to you. Because everyone thinks, "Oh, as soon as the earth trembled and the chains fell and the doors opened, this man was like, 'Man, I want Jesus.'" That's not what happened. If that were true, he would not have wanted to kill himself after that. As soon as the earthquake happened, this man grabbed the sword and said, "I'm going to end my life." Because he felt hopeless. He knew he was about to be executed because all the prisoners had escaped, he thought. And right when he was about to end his life, Paul said, "Wait! Don't do it! We're here." That's the same jailer that most likely beat Paul. The same jailer that put him in chains. The same jailer that stripped him of his clothes. And yet Paul reached out to him. What if your worst enemy was there? Would you reach out to them in their greatest need? But see, Paul's faith and Paul's loyalty was not conditional. So Paul said, wait. Don't do it. And what got this man to say, I need Jesus, was the fact that Paul and Silas did not escape when the prison cells opened. Because they held on to their integrity. And they said, it's not right for us to leave. I'm wondering if that was forward in that prison cell. And those chains fall off and those doors open. We'd have been like, vamos, let's go. We're out of here. God is good. He delivered us. But Paul said, no. I don't think this isn't right. I wonder if it was God or the devil that did that earthquake. I don't know. But he had integrity and he said, no. I'm going to stay. It was integrity that got this man to say, I need Jesus. See, I wonder if the world today would look at our integrity if they would desire Christ like this man. Are you guys getting it this morning? Number one, never lose your praise. Whatever happens, don't lose your praise. Number two, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. There are people going through whatever you're going through right now. So what is different is how you react. And number three, God always has a good plan for a bad problem. Good came out of that annoying girl. Good came out of that prison cell. A man and his family got saved because of an annoying problem. That's how you know it's God, because He can take whatever is bothering you, whatever is hurting you. God says, let me have it and watch what I do with it. So I want to end with Philippians 1:27, a powerful verse that Paul wrote, I believe, in reference to what happened in Acts. Because Paul wrote this from a prison cell. Again, I don't know what's up with Paul, but he's always in prison. But the church was discouraged because a lot was going on. And Paul writes this amazing word and letter of encouragement. He says, whatever happens, it happens. Whatever happens, come on, church. So whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. So Paul says, whatever happens, it will happen. Whatever you go through, you're going to get through. But when it does happen, you better act like someone that knows Jesus. That's what Paul said there. Here's my prayer for you guys. As you leave church this morning, it's going to happen. Someone's going to mess you up. You're going to come back to some annoying person. Monday comes, work comes, there's that annoying person. Don't be casting out demons, remember, don't do that. But I pray that when it happens, that someone hurts you, offends you, when you get annoyed with someone, that in your mind you hear the Holy Spirit whisper to you, it's happening. What are you going to do? And you're going to say, no matter what happens, I'm going to act in such a way that it is worthy of Jesus Christ. Because Paul conducted himself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, that man saw his need for Jesus. So whatever you're going through today, praise God. Whatever you're going through this morning, you're not the only one. And whatever you're going through today, God is working something good out of what is bad right now. So whatever happens, I'm going to act like someone that knows that Jesus is in my life, that Jesus is in control. I'm going to act because when people see how I react, they're going to see how awesome Jesus is. Let's pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed today. You're going to go out of this church and it's going to happen. Someone's going to hurt you. Someone's going to offend you. You're going to go back home and it's going to happen. Something is going to annoy you. Something is going to drive you up the wall. And when it happens, because it will happen, conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Conduct yourself in such a manner that whoever sees it or hears it recognizes their need for Jesus because of how you acted. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for anyone that's going through something that's happening right now. I pray for God, that person that has lost their worship, their praise. I pray for that person, God, that's just so distracted because of everything they've gone through. And I just pray that life would never be so annoying that it hinders our walk with you. So, Lord, whoever the devil is trying to distract and mess up right now, Lord, I just ask that you will give them the strength to conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. And forgive us when we feel entitled, like we're the only ones going through problems. Forgive us when those issues have robbed us of your praise. And God, we just trust you to work in all these areas. So I want to pray over you right now this morning. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need work in this area of my life and conducting myself in a Christian manner, because right now I am annoyed. And I'm guilty of being annoyed where it affects my relationship with God. If that's you, I want to see your hand for a moment. No one's looking around. I just want to acknowledge you. God bless you. You, I see all your hands there this morning. You can put your hand down. And if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying. But it seems that the more I try, the more stupider people get, the crazier things get. And I'm just trying, but I keep failing. Because you need to stop trying and you need to start trusting. Go back to the Lord. And let Him lead you this morning. Let's all stand. I want to pray over you today as a church. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to think about what is happening right now in your life and say to yourself, it happened. I can't change what happened. I can't control what is happening, but I can control how I react to what's happening. I want you to think about that person right now that's annoying you, that's exhausting you right now. And instead of praying for yourself this morning, why don't you pray for them like Paul did? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word. And I pray, Lord, for those people in our lives that are just exhausting us, hurting us, annoying us. The people that have kept us and hindered us from worshiping you and praying to you and seeking you. Lord, forgive us when we do not conduct ourselves in a worthy manner of the gospel. So, Lord, we know that whatever happens, because it will happen, and for some here today it has happened, give them faith, give them courage to keep going, knowing that you are in control and you are creating an amazing miracle out of what we're going through. And I pray, God, that we would enjoy this life you've given us as we surrender to you. We ask and we trust that you will work all things for the good of those who love you. So, Father, help us with this in conducting ourselves in a worthy manner of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God some praise this morning if you're free from this.